Ephesians chapter 6. If you text us for prayer, we do pray. And most usually you will hear from us, and sometimes you won't hear from us, depends. But if you have something to say in addition to what you've asked, we will text you that. Now I want to talk to you today about prayer. And the reason is it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. And we've been encouraging you to pray for somebody in this group. We have a number of people who really need the healing hand of the Lord and who are standing for God to touch their body, and we're standing with them. And though we cannot and will not give you the details, when you look around, you pick somebody and you kind of carry them home with you. If you don't know their name, don't ask them any questions. Just tell the Lord, I'm praying for the lady in the pink shirt. God's pretty smart, you know. He can figure that out. Well, we want to start with an introduction long before we get to the prayer of faith. It doesn't say the prayer of faith might save the sick, could save the sick. Give it a shot. Hope that works. It says shall in the King James, which we would say will. The prayer of faith will. It will. It will. It will.
Amen.
It will.
Amen.
You know, if somebody asks you to do something, you say, we'll do that. You're committed. So God has committed himself to healing power, and he committed himself through the cross that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Yes. By the wounds that wounded him, one translation says, you were healed and made whole. And based on the sacrifice and the blood of the Lamb, he provides healing. And it says the prayer of faith, those who believe in the healing hand of God, those who know that healing is paid for.
Yes.
If you got a call from a department store and said somebody was up here, some strange lady with white hair, and paid for your new quilt, would you come and get it? Well, you wouldn't hesitate to go and see if that was the truth. But if you knew who they were talking about, you would know it's the truth, because I don't lie. And God doesn't lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Said every word he's spoken has come to pass. You know, we would say to a child, we'll get new tennis shoes tomorrow, and tomorrow it's not convenient. I urge you to watch your words. So we will get new tennis shoes as soon as possible. That gives you a few days. But if I said we will get new tennis shoes tomorrow, and I said we will get new tennis shoes Monday, changing only one word, I lied by one word. Telling the truth is very, very important. And if God doesn't lie by a single word, then we should watch our words. Now, we're not going to do as well as God does. You know that. But we're going to watch every word. That's 1 Kings 8:56. Now here is the standard on prayer, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Do you see the word perseverance? There's going to be in prayer some hanging in there. Praying always with all prayer. Translators say praying always with all kinds of prayer, praying always with all manner of prayer, in the Spirit or as led by the Spirit. Catch that first phrase. Praying always with all kinds of prayer as led by the Spirit. Now, we don't think of prayer as being in kinds, but if there are different purposes for prayer, then there are different ways to approach prayer. We're not intimidated by our ignorance. We are working to correct our ignorance and to line up more completely with the Word of the living God. But we are going to pray in the Spirit. That is the way to cover any stupidity that we have. And we're not worried about making mistakes. We're worried about not praying. Not praying is a lot harsher than praying. Did you know that there were different kinds of prayer? Well, we grew up in the denominational church, and everybody prayed just alike. They called on Brother Bob to pray, and he prayed, and he sounded just like Brother Tim that prayed the other day. We kind of had a standard procedure. And if we knew there were kinds of prayer, we didn't know that. I never heard anybody pray except that one prayer they always prayed when they were called on. And when we had a prayer meeting, which we did have a few prayer meetings, they would pray one by one person, just like the last person prayed, unless they prayed the problem. Now, we're not praying the problem. And when they ask, I'd like to pray for Sister Susie because she's been in the hospital and she's not doing well and her foot really bothers her. You been there to that prayer meeting? Were you at that prayer meeting? Well, God doesn't need you to tell him the details. He actually understands it better than you do. So what we're going to do is talk a few minutes about the different kinds of prayer before we get to the prayer of faith will save the sick.
Amen.
The prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, you remember Jesus in the garden. He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's the prayer of dedication or consecration. Everybody prays that at one time or another, and maybe several times in your lifetime, to say, "I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go." You're dedicating yourself to the will of God. And Jesus was just saying, "I'm going to do what you want me to do." Now, a lot of times we don't know what God wants you to do. We just don't know. So we tend to say, "Lord, if it's your will." And this is the only prayer that would work. The only prayer on the planet. The only prayer on the planet that needs the "if it be that will." That means if you want me in Africa, I'll go. If you want me in England, I'll go. I always give the Lord a hint just in case he's confused. I'd rather be in England. But I'm going to tell you, the African minds are the best minds on the planet. I couldn't figure it out. These guys over here, they stared me down. It was a large Bible school that I was at for 3 weeks, one time 4 weeks another. And then it dawned on me when I saw them X-ing where they had their name, their signature, put your signature here, and they don't read or write, and they're remembering. Their minds are phenomenal, phenomenal. And the missionary said, "We test them every month, and they always pass." And they're remembering. They're just remembering. They don't have any paper. They don't have anything written down. They're remembering. Is that phenomenal? Now, we have the ability to read and to understand and to pray that wonderful prayer in Ephesians 1 where we have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and the eyes of our understanding enlightened. We say we want wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Those are three different things, but related things. Wisdom is what you do. That's the guy building the house that knows where to put the nails. Understanding is the guy that has knowledge and he can explain it to you. The guy with knowledge, you know, I could say the books of the Bible because we memorize those. Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. You know, it's not that you as a girl understood anything, but you had to memorize. Well, you have understanding when you can explain what you had memorized. And you have wisdom when you can take what you've memorized and what you understand and build a house with it. You see that. And so we have the privilege of praying for that. And God working with us to help us to understand and to help us to grow up. You know, the more you understand, well, there are a lot of things that I can't do. I am not electronic. And Wayne explains it to me, and he'll say, "I explained this to you several times before." When he talks to you like that, he's trying to not lose his temper. He's not really temperamental, but he does get just a little perturbed that I cannot remember what button he told me to push. I just don't have an electronic. That's why God has blessed us with a team that has understanding, that knows how to take it apart, put it back together. And we're so glad for that. But me, I'm just going by the rules, just doing what they told me to do, mash this button. Mash this button. And then Wayne will say, "You didn't mash the TV button." Well, I don't know why we have to have three controllers for our TV. Do you understand that? You do? Well, I never did quite get that. But when it comes to the Word of God, we pray for understanding and God sends it. God grants it. We say, "Lord, I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need knowledge." And we pray for that. And we particularly need knowledge of prayer because all prayer is not alike. And the prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden, submitting himself to the will of God, has the "if it be thy will," because you probably don't know when you're 21 what God wants of you when you're 32 or 52. You may not be sure of where you'll end up, but you are going to say, "Lord, I'll serve you." And that's the prayer, the only prayer on the planet. Did I say that before? With the "if it be thy will." Now there's the prayer of casting. That's when you take your worries and you give them to God and you don't worry anymore. That's in 1 Peter 5:7. And then, of course, Philippians says, "Don't worry about anything." That means I'm quit worrying. I give up worry. You ever had to give up worry? Mm-hmm. You know why you're worried? I'll tell you, because you can't solve it. And you know worrying doesn't perfect that. It doesn't change that. You worried and worried and fretted, and you still can't solve it.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So in the middle of the night when I realize I'm still wide awake thinking about that, I say, "Lord, I cast that on you." When you cast something on him, you never, ever, ever on the planet think of that again. You got that part? So if you think of it again, which you will, you say, no, I gave that to the Lord. I'm telling you, over the years, I found out God knows how to solve things. He knows how to perfect them. He knows how to shift people and things. It's absolutely amazing. If you will turn loose of it, you will quit worrying. Now, you wouldn't put a, if it be thy will. Said, I'm not going to worry unless it's your will for me to worry. So there's no if it be I will there. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. See, when I cast it on him, when I give it to him, that I have perfect peace. And when I realize I've picked it back up, you do that. You spend half the night. Well, I don't know what you do. I'm going to go into the study and fix some hot tea. In England, they used to send us hot tea, and we've got 30, 40 boxes. In case you have a flavor you like, I probably can send you some. And I have hot tea, and I work to get rid of that. I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm not going to go over it and over it. You know what you accomplish by going over it and over it and over it? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. You don't accomplish a thing. And God doesn't need it if it be that will. He told you not to worry. He said, don't worry. Now, do you remember your mother? My mother's been gone a long time. But I remember when she said, don't touch that. Do you know what she meant? She meant you better not touch that again. Now, we were overseas, and this little girl had some kind of mental trauma. And she was older, 10, 11, 12 at that point. And she was born with this particular trauma. And they had a TV in the living room that when they sent her to the bedroom, they could see what she's doing there. And she would run round and round and round and round and around the room. They didn't pay attention because they're used to that. But I'm watching the TV and thinking, oh, my God, my goodness. I said, how long is she going to do that? He said, till she passes out. Do you know if you keep worrying that what's going to happen to you? Did I give you a hint? You're probably going to pass out from the stress of worrying, and all of that worry, you didn't solve anything. So that's a type of prayer. There's no if it be thy will in anything, but when you commit yourself to go to Africa, if God wants you in Africa, or to go to England, if he wants you to England, or to stay in Lakeland, whatever God wants, I'm committed. I'm committed. And see, when God called me to teach, I didn't have any idea. I wasn't a teacher. I had substituted for Wayne's mother one time. She taught fifth or sixth grade Sunday school, and she needed to substitute that Sunday, and they asked her, would I do it? And I said I would. And so I hadn't taught any teaching. When the Lord spoke to me, this is what I heard. Go ye therefore and teach! Just like that. That's the way I heard it. That was in case I couldn't take a hint. I think. I think that's what it was. Well, after that, a lady asked me to substitute in her group in I would ordinarily have said, oh, no, I don't teach. But I had that, go ye therefore and teach. In my thinking, I thought, I probably should say I do it. Then I found out they had a lesson for the day. And, you know, Pastor John 3:16, I didn't know too much. I knew the Roman road to salvation. I knew the books of the Bible. I could tell you the Bible stories in detail, but I didn't have any clue what that meant. But I did that in faith because I'd heard from God. Now, you've heard from God. What did God say to you? Don't worry about anything. Cast every care, every worry on me. Now, you wouldn't hire a yard man that didn't know how to do the yard. You'd be frustrated. When you cast a worry on God, he knows exactly how to solve that for you. Amen. Is that amazing?
Yes.
So that's a type of prayer. So then we have the prayer of casting, don't worry. We have the prayer of commitment, committing yourself to the Lord. And we have the prayer of worship. Now, people don't think of worship as prayer. But let me tell you the difference in worship and in praise, in music. Most of our music is not worship. Worship has one focus, and that's God.
Amen.
And it's, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. It's, I'm talking to God. I'm singing to God. I'm looking full in his wonderful face. Well, what we do is we sing to one another. we encourage one another in music. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but that isn't the ultimate, the height of what we need to do. When we're worshiping, our focus is God and God alone. You know, if you listen to the music, we major in music that says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm talking to you. Praise him, all creatures. Here, most of our music is me talking to you, you talking to me, them talking to us. Nothing wrong with that. But we can't stop there. We've got to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full of the prayer of worship. Now, the Bible's full of the prayer of worship. It's when they were looking at God and God alone. You remember Acts 13, they're in prison? They've been beaten, put in prison. And it says at midnight, they sang praises. I bet they weren't singing to one another. Just a thought. But they were praising God. And what happens when we really worship? The power of God is released. The power of God was released, and that prison door was shaken and opened. In Acts 13, when they had the meeting of the teachers, which are listed there in Acts 13:1, they had a meeting of teachers, and they came together to worship. Not to talk to one another, not to encourage one another. Is anything wrong with that? No. But that isn't, you know, that's like quitting school in the eighth grade. That's not unusual for older people. I think my grandfather didn't even make it that long. And he was a sweetie. My grandmother was very, very short. See, you can run short in any kind of prayer. You can misunderstand. I'm not worried about misunderstanding. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pick things up in the Spirit. If I don't understand what to do, that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let God say it. My grandmother was very, very short, and finally they took her kitchen apart and rebuilt it so the cabinets weren't but this high. So she could get in the top cabinets and so that she could put her hands in the sink. I washed dishes for her some. You should have seen me. Mm-hmm. With my hands in the sink. See, God wants you to stretch to the very height, and the only way to stretch to the height is through worship. And when they worshiped God, it says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I've called them. When you worship, the Holy Ghost speaks. When you worship, the power of God falls. And we need that sometimes a lot more than we need to encourage one another. And I believe in encouraging one another, and I'm glad to be encouraged. Now, you got those three kinds? There are many, many different kinds of prayer. Let me see if I'm going to give you one more. The prayer of agreement. We'll get back to that. We take that scripture on the prayer of agreement and mean if two agree on earth as two are here together in church. We take that to be a church thing, but it isn't a church thing. It's if two or three agree on earth as touching anything, it's a prayer thing. As touching anything, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. And then it says, where two or three agree in my name, there am I in the midst. Well, we see he's here in the church. Well, he is here in the church. But those verses don't apply to church attendance. That's how they're used. That's not their application. Is we agree together in prayer. In other words, I'm asking you to pray with me to help me. The prayer of agreement. Now, I want to talk to you and major in the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, look at Mark 11:24. I want you once again to take somebody home with you and pray for them at least once this week. When I pray for this group, usually I call your name. And I start because I have a strong memory. I call all your name because I know where you're sit. And I present you by name to the Father because I like to be specific and I believe in being specific. And then I pray that you have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding enlightened. And other scriptures as well. See, God wants us to pray for one another, and we will never get where we're going by Bible study alone. If Bible study is what you do, that's a wonderful thing. You ought to meditate day and night. But if that's all you do and you don't pray and we don't pray for one another, we're not going to get to the healing power of heaven. It is worship, the prayer of worship that brings the power of God down upon us. And that's what we need, especially those who are struggling with some disease. Now, Mark 11:24 is the prayer of worship. And it starts with it. I mean, the prayer of faith. What did I say? It's the prayer of faith. The 22nd verse is have faith in God. The 24th verse is what things soever you desire. So the prayer of faith begins with a specific desire. It's not do something, God, do anything. Two fellows were praying. One of them told this. They were praying together, and one of them kept saying, oh, some way, God, somehow, some way, somehow, you have wasted your time. Jesus is the way. The Holy Ghost is the how. You've got to be specific. If you're praying in faith, you've got to be specific. Now, if you don't know the way and the how, you go to James 1:5, if any lack wisdom, I mean, I just really don't know what to do. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberty and upbraids. And I just ask God, what should I do here? Because I don't know what to do here. And then when I know what to do there, I go back to Mark, whatever you desire when you pray. It says, whatever you desire when you pray. So I know what I'm doing. I know what I need here. In other words, I've taken time to sit in the presence of God, to worship him and to praise his name, and I know exactly what I need here. And what we need is healing power in everybody. We need healing. We need healing power, so we're not confused. If you couldn't pay your mortgage, you wouldn't be confused about what you needed. This is not the prayer of confusion, the prayer of guesswork. This is the prayer of you do know what you need. And if you don't, you go to James and say, what do I need? Now, this one man, was he told it, he's going to pray for government. And he tried. He said, I just tried, but I thought that's the worst prayer I ever prayed. He said, that just was a pathetic prayer. He said, I couldn't figure out what to say or how to say it. So he said, I went to the scripture, and I looked up some scripture, and I meditated on some scripture, and I'm going to pray again. So he's trying to accomplish everything in English, and would that you were smart enough for that, but you're not. And so he prayed again about the government, and he fell miserably. And he said, oh, that was terrible, Lord. Why can't I pray for government? And the Lord spoke to him and said, why don't you let me do it? Now, because I'm a very specific person, I pray state by state. I said, Lord, I'm praying for Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico. I go around, and I always miss somebody, you know. I always end up with, if I forgot anything. I'm not a world, I have traveled the world, but anyway, I'm not a map, my globe person. So Suzanne ordered me a map of the states. So if I can't remember, I can go and I can remember. Okay. North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Washington, D.C., Massachusetts, Delaware. My grandfather was from Delaware. Delaware, New Hampshire, and I can go that way. See, that's just me. I like to be specific. I don't want God confused about what I'm asking. So I'm telling him, I'm praying for Georgia. Okay. Whatever you desire, this is a specific prayer. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is, you know what you desire. And it says, what is there when you pray? When you pray, you're not confused. Okay, keep your finger there. Let's go to Psalms 37. I think it's Psalms 37. 37:4. Verse 3 is often quoted, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is why we're praying, because we trust him. And then you go down to verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, when we read that, delight yourself in the Lord, that's I'm looking right at him, and I'm focused on God and his power and his need and his desire and his work in my neighborhood, in my household, with my family, in my city. When I started learning to pray, I couldn't pray for the city of Lakeland. It was too much for me. I couldn't figure out how you pray from north, south. I just couldn't figure that out. So I prayed for years. I said, Lord, I'm praying from Saddle Creek Park to Lake Parker, from Highway 92 to State Road 33. And then I drive the neighborhood, and I say, I want every household in those streets to be touched by the gospel, by TV, by neighbor, by friend, by stranger. I want every household to know you and to know Jesus. And I want every church that believes in John 3:16. Have to be sort of specific there. And we have about We used to have about 7 churches in that neighborhood. See, I'm praying specifically. I know what I desire. I'm praying specifically. And the little church that was poorly attended, we would see it as we come here for years and years. And we kept calling their name because we knew they believed in the gospel that we believed in John 3:16. And their parking lot every Sunday morning this last year is just full and running over. It's absolutely amazing. But now look, delight yourself, Lord. He'll give you. That doesn't mean he's going to give you what you desire. It means he's going to place certain desires in you. As you look at him, as you worship him, he's going to stimulate certain desires in your spirit. You're going to have certain desires crop up. Certain things are going to come to you. That's what I want. That's what I need. He's going to give you, going to place in you certain desires. Commit your way unto the Lord. Now that word commit is to roll. It means cast every care upon him. There's no, you know, a scared prayer won't work. It won't. So he's delight in the Lord. Now I'm focused on God. And God begins to stir my heart to do certain things or to pray about certain things or to stand for certain things. And then if I get to worry and fretful, I commit that unto the Lord. I'm not going to do that. You know how many times sometimes you had to tell yourself, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to think about that again. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Really, I'm not. It's usually somewhere between midnight and 6 o'clock. Have you noticed that? Now look back at Mark 11. Are you getting this? We're going to have a specific desire. And then when we pray, we're going to believe we receive. Yes. That's amazing, isn't it? We're going to believe we receive. And then it says, we shall have. Now that's twofold. The minute I pray, God answers prayer. When I pray, God answers my prayer. If I call, I used to order Wayne's slacks from some company. I think they were in New York. And I'd say, this is customer 107. And they'd say, well, hey, Miss Cumby, you got the same credit card? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, okay, give me your order. And I said, I want 2 pairs of slacks, brown and navy, this size. And she said, okay, let me check the warehouse. And she'd come back. She said, okay, we have those in the warehouse. They're going out in the morning. Is there anything else? I said, no, that's all I need today. And she'd say, okay, they'll be there in about 3 days. You know what I did in 3 days? I went to the post office to get them. You know why I went to get them? I knew they'd be there. You know why I knew they'd be there? I ordered them. Sorry, I'm yelling at you today. I've had a hard week. That's my solution for a hard week. I went and picked them up. Now, if they weren't there on the third day, guess what I did?
Called them up.
I went back the next day. I received those. I received them the day she said, we will put them in the mail tomorrow. That's the day they were mine. That's the day I paid for them. Your sicknesses are paid for.
Yes.
Over 2,000 years ago. I said, Father, I know 2,000 years ago or so, your blood was shed and I am healed. You've been healed for over 2,000. You were healed before you were born. It's paid for. You've received it. Now, when I pray specifically, I don't know what you're praying about. I said, Father, for this diabetes or this heart condition or this lung condition or this arthritis in my hip, whatever it is, I'm calling it by name if I know what its name is. And if I don't know what its name is, I said, Lord, you see this right here? This pain right here? Right here. It's right here. I figure he knows the name. I don't know what name is. I just let God, you know, I'm not smart enough to tell God everything. If I was, I'd be sitting on the edge of the throne helping him. And there's no way that's ever going to happen. Now, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. When did you receive? The day you prayed. But you didn't see it that day. It says, and you shall have it. That's the day you see it. You received it the day you prayed, but you don't see it that day. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. See, I've prayed with people. I prayed with a lady. I've told you this story. I don't know what happened to her. She hasn't been here in years and years and years. So that's why we can talk about her. She said, would I pray for her? And I did. And she said, well, that didn't work. See, she was believing to see when we prayed. I'm believing that I will see. I know it's mine now. I prayed, it's mine. It's mine! I prayed. and I will see. So just to pacify her, I'm tired. So I've been there all morning. I said, okay, let's just do that again. And we prayed. I just did that for her benefit, not for mine. And she got up and looked at me. She said, well, that just didn't work. And she left. Well, it's because she doesn't understand. We're not believing to see when we pray. We are not believing to see when we pray. We're believing to receive in the realm of the Spirit and to know that we have received and to know that God has. Now, sometimes God does let you see the minute you pray. I kind of like that, but not always. I like that when, you know, when Jesus laid hands on their eyes and suddenly they could see. I think that was wonderful. But that doesn't always happen. But you did receive it. Now, it begins in the Spirit. It begins on the inside, and it comes out to the body. Let me show you. Since you haven't seen your insides, I'll show you, because I've seen them. Here you are in the Spirit. Here's your physical body. And you prayed. You prayed a mental prayer, but you also prayed in the Spirit. If you just prayed a mental prayer, you only prayed what you knew, what you understand. You didn't pray what God knew, unless He had spoken to you, which He might have. And so we have to pray from the Spirit. And then the answer begins to come to the flesh where I can see it. First I receive it. It says, believe you receive. When does it say you believe? Is that how you spell receive? And then you shall see. Then you shall have. Now there's a gap between here. I don't know if it's a day, a week, 6 months. But what are we going to do in the meantime? Keep asking? Why would you do that? You think God's forgetful?
Thanking Him.
I'm just going to thank Him. Say thank you. And it'll help you if you'll note the date. Say, Father, on March the 1st, I prayed that this pain in my shoulder, we just pick on shoulders today. We could pick on knees. That's what I usually do. Their office, they're going through the old, I've been at this a long time, and they're going through some old things we did years ago, because some of the things I did we don't have opportunity to do anymore. And it's amazing what I've learned listening to me. I don't listen to very many. They do the listening. I don't need to hear me. But one thing I know, you have to receive what you hear in the Spirit. And your mind joins in agreement. And then there's going to be a time span. And every time you think about it, you think, well, March 1st, I prayed about my shoulder, and I thank you that I've received my healing. Oh, thank you, Father, that I received my healing. I thank you. How long are you going to say that till I quit worrying about it? And the reason I'm worried about it, because it hurts. You ever had a pain?
Well,
I've had some pains in recent days. And I have to overcome. Do you know I have to practice what I believe? Just like you do. Well, it helps if I say, on March the 1st, I prayed about my shoulder and received my healing. Thank God, on March 1st, I received my healing. March the 1st, I received my healing. March the 1st, I received my healing. And I haven't seen anything. I haven't felt any different. It isn't a feeling. It's a commitment to the Word of God and to bring what God promised into your life. And when God promised, what He promised you will happen. You know what we do? We turn loose. Now, this little lady on the front row, she turned loose right away. Immediately, she turned loose. She's expecting to feel. She's expecting to feel or to see to prove she received. But I received because I have a promise. I have a promise. That's why I received. I have a promise. So it says, believe you received, and you shall have. Now, look at John 15, verse 7, which you're familiar with. Let me tweak it for you. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, how are His words going to abide in me? I'm going to have to spend time in the Word. And the Word is going to anchor you. It's going to anchor your faith. Faith comes by the Word. And you spoke and you prayed in faith so that you have the Word. And every word is going to come to pass. But what are we going to do in this middle, this time gap when it doesn't look like God was listening? It says, if you abide in me, that's turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face. I'm abiding in his presence. What a lot of people do, they just want to tell you their story. I've heard a lot of stories over the year. And one lady, the Lord spoke to me several days after I talked with her, and I called her. She gave me a business number, and I called and asked her to speak to her, and they said, she doesn't want to talk to you. Something like that. Well, that's fine. I just said, well, thank you. You tell her I called, and thank you very much. And that was the end of that. See, she'd already given up. She'd already quit. She's through. It didn't work. And she's finished. You see? That won't work. Now, so we're going to abide in his presence. We're going to look full in his face. And his word abides in us. The word is going to anchor your faith. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Do you see that? It shall be done. It shall be done. It will be done. I ask and it will be done. That means there comes a day when my faith becomes sight. Now, what does Hebrews 11:1 say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I want to see it today. Me too. But I'm prepared. I'm anchored. You know, one thing we tried to preserve was, and Suzanne's our preservationist, is Mama's recipes and my grandmother's recipes. Well, my grandmother made a fruitcake that's unique. It's exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. And I have the original paper that Mama wrote it on. And I used it so much I had to put it away and rewrite it on a new paper because the paper is split down the middle. We use it over and over and over again. And anytime, there are people who just don't like fruitcake. I don't care if you paid $1 million for it. But most everybody, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, wow, what is this? What is this? Wow, this is, well, it's got a jar of orange marmalade in it, which keeps it moist and keeps it from drying out. Fruitcake tends to dry out. Well, we never give up on that recipe. We have the original paperwork that Mama wrote that's torn in two. My grandmother's recipe that she got from her friend Ruth's daughter, or sister, maybe it was a sister. And that goes back decades and decades, but we haven't given up on it. See, the minute you give up on the word, it wasn't that the word wasn't working. You canceled it. You shut it down. And what we do is we shut it. We say, well, I sure did need that to happen. And we begin to talk negatively. Now look at James. That's the prayer of faith. You got it? You believe, you receive, and you know the day will come when you will see. Now here's what I came to tell you in the last 7 minutes. Verse 14, the final chapter. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Lord shall raise him up. If he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So sin is not going to keep you from being healing if you're repentant. Now it says, any sick among you, call for the elders. That word sick means to be weak and feeble. In other words, you're too far gone to do, you're not comfortable doing your own praying. You want somebody to stand with you, somebody side by side. Now the prayer of faith is not a prayer that you pray for other people. Listen to this. What things soever you desire when you pray that you believe that you receive. And you pray, this verse tells us, but you can pray it if somebody asks you to pray because they're sick and they want some support. The elders, those that are mature in the Lord. Okay, it doesn't say what things you desire when you pray that you believe that Mabel will receive. You can agree with Mabel. That's the prayer of agreement is actually two or three people praying the prayer of faith in unity. And it's found in, let me give that reference, Matthew something or other, 18:19. It says, if two agree is touching anything, it shall be done. And so when somebody comes to you and because of their physical condition, they're weakened, they need help, we can agree with them. It doesn't matter if they're only coming with 5% faith. So you three people pray and add the rest, add the 95% faith. See, we can, the prayer of faith is for you. It's your prayer. It's your desire. It's not what things whoever Mabel desires when you pray. Do you understand? What things whoever you desire when you pray that you believe that you receive. But if Mabel comes to me and she's been really sick, it says I can pray for Mabel. I can pray in agreement with Mabel. I'm supporting Mabel because has there been a time you really, really needed somebody to pray for you? You just couldn't do it by yourself? That's what this says. Call Mabel. Call the church. Call me. Text me. Call for the elders. So I got a text this morning, and we responded. We prayed online, which we do sometimes. And I'm glad to stand with them. Now, through the day, if I think of them, I go back and say, I thank you, Lord, that you're working according to what we ask, that you're giving them peace beyond understanding. See, I'm going to go over that and anchor. I'm going to anchor them because their physical condition prevents them from anchoring themselves. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So I can agree, pray for you when you're not able. And that word sick means weak. You're weak, you're feeble. Well, you know what I do in the middle of the night? I say, Wayne. And he rolls over and he goes, in the name. He is so smart. The older he gets, the smarter he is. And that's a good thing. But if you come and you have faith, but you just want some more faith, you want some faith support, then I can pray. We're all going to pray the prayer of faith together for whatever you ask us to pray for. We're going to support you and your need. Do you see? Those are unique instances. Ordinarily, when you pray that you believe, that you receive, you have. Now, if it's Mabel has, it's because Mabel came and asked for help. You got that? Everybody got that? You have to be careful what you say when people are confidential to you. I'm very, very careful. Your story does not go past me. It doesn't go to Wayne's ears. First of all, I'm not in charge of Wayne's mouth. Now, he's confidential, but what if he forgot? He wasn't there. He doesn't know what you said. I told him what you said, and he forgets. So we don't do that. See? So it's confidential. So I'm supporting you, and I'm holding you up in prayer. And when I think about you, I'm going to say, now we prayed in agreement, Father. Thank you that that's working. Thank you that that's working. And I'm going to support you till you get what you need or do you give up. You understand that? The prayer of faith, what? We'll save the sick. The prayer of faith, what? Will it work? Yes. Are you going to have to hold the fort? You know that song? That song was written during the Civil War. The fort was the fort that, it was actual fort where they kept all the weaponry, the Civil War weaponry, whatever that was like. And they were being attacked, and then all the weaponry for the South would have gone down. They wouldn't have had any more weapons. They would have lost instantly. So on the far mountain, they sent a flame, a smoke signal to the other Southern troops and said, we are being attacked. We're going to lose. And he sent the smoke signal back, hold the fort. I'm coming. That's the essence of that song. That's why it was written. See, that's what God would say to you. Hold the fort. Don't give up. Don't quit. Hold the fort.
Yes.
I'm coming. So why didn't he come right away? Well, you ask him when you see him, because I don't know. You got it?
Yes.
Everybody got it?
Yes.